Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 13. We'll give away some more stuff next week. Mark chapter 13. Need to make sure that we are all in the Word of God together. Open your Bibles, open your apps. We're coming into days and times where people just want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. And they'll go to churches that or places that will say anything, and I want you guys to be like the Bereans who were more noble, who searched out the scriptures to make sure that what was being said to them was accurate. Okay, so we're in the Gospel of Mark. If you remember, we're Mark chapter 13, very tough chapter, talking about end times, and so this is probably, then we're going to go, we go verse by verse through the Word of God. We're going through the book of Mark. Next week will be chapter 14. In Mark chapter 13, you know, people are asking, hey, you know, what's, okay, it's okay. The other thing is we're going through, as we go through the book of Mark, as we go through chapter 13, people are asking me, you know, what's the next imminent event? And again, to me, the next imminent event is the rapture of the church, I believe. And some people believe at different timelines when that's going to happen, or when, that's just what I'm telling you, that I think the next thing's going to happen for his church. And what you're seeing in our society, what you're seeing in the news, what you're seeing in the Olympics, what you're seeing in is the world going backwards. You're seeing good being called evil, evil being called good. You're going to see sin slowly being accepted, and then normalized, and then legalized, and then encouraged, and then mandated. It's just the way of the world. You're going to see an increased hatred in those who are speaking truth and righteousness. Not self-righteousness, right? But you're going to see an increased hatred there. You're going to see an increased hatred of Christians, of the Jewish people. You're going to see, if you haven't noticed this, I have actually somebody who watches us online. I had a lot of people contact me that watch us on other states, from other states. I'm trying to remember. I think this one was actually in Florida. And they're just noticing just an increased hatred of the Jewish people that they've never noticed before. And I just said, hey, you know what? It's been increasing. For those of us who walk with the Lord, we've seen this. We know this, and it's almost like the whole world is focusing on this teeny tiny little country the size of New Jersey. And so if you look at it in a map, you probably can't hardly even find it. Honestly, if we took a world map, you'd have a hard time unless you know exactly where it is. And so it's a crazy time, but this is a sign of the time. And if you remember in Mark chapter 13, Jesus was in the temple courts area. And you remember the disciples said, wow, they were so blown away by the magnificent stone and Herod's temple. And he said, hey, not one stone on this temple is going to be left upon another. And that's exactly what happened. They were all thrown down in 70 AD. And they asked, well, when are all these things going to be fulfilled, the end of the age? Instead of telling them exact date or time, he said, hey, here's the things. I want you to watch out that nobody deceives you, because many are going to come in my name. They're going to deceive you. Many teachers are going to come. Many false prophets are going to teach what your itching ears want to hear. I know I sound like a broken record with that, but listen, this, knowing God's word, you know what? A well-worn Bible. A worn-out Bible is owned by someone who isn't. And think about that. When you put the word of God inside of you and let it flow in and out of you, there's a confidence, there's an assurance, there's a stability that goes beyond circumstances, just like we were singing. And he's telling them, hey, you're going to have these, there's going to be lots of folk, and they're going to deceive many. There's not even going to deceive a few. They're going to deceive many. And he said, nations going to rise against, there's going to be wars and rumors. These are just the beginning of birth pains. Then they're going to increase in intensity, in frequency, just like a woman giving birth. Yes, I said a woman giving birth. And that's why he said, you must be on your guard. They're going to eventually hand you over to councils to be flogged in synagogues. And on account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as a witness. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. And he said, when you're arrested, not if, but when you're arrested and brought to trial, don't worry beforehand about what you're going to say or what you're going to do. The Holy Spirit, an unction of the Holy Spirit, he will give you what you need at that moment of time. And he says, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that it's going to be, you're being, just like Jim told you yesterday, right? The conspiracy theory, you're being almost conditioned to believe lies, right? And so just know that it's going to be strong, so strong that brother is going to betray brother even to death. Father, his child, children are going to rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm in the end. He says, when you see the abomination that causes desolation standing in that rebuilt temple, that's when you know it's really going down. And how dreadful it will be in those days. And they're going to be days of unequaled distress, never to be equaled again. We've already gone through the whole book of Revelation together, so I won't get into that. He said, if the Lord hadn't cut it short, no one would survive. And at that time, he says, hey, if anyone says, here's the Messiah, don't listen to them. Be on your guard. Because I've told you everything ahead of time. In those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And then, at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he won't be coming as a suffering, humble servant, giving his life as a ransom for many, so that anyone who would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. This time he'll be coming to judge the world with righteousness. And he'll gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth. Anyway, so this is where we left off in Mark chapter 13, 28 to 29. Okay, Mark chapter 13, 28 and 29. I'm going to read it. I've got so much writing in my Bible sometimes. Let's read it from 28 to the end of the chapter together, shall we? Starting verse 28 of Mark 13. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that the summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. Heavy words. So let's go through it and let's see what God has for us. We start off in verse 28. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things happening, you know that it's near, right at the door. Now, if you have never been to Israel, you may not know, but most of the trees in Israel, because of the climate, they sort of, I don't know how to say, bloom? Do trees bloom? What are they?
Yeah.
They bloom. They're the same year-round, okay? And that's true of almost every tree in Israel, even the olive tree. Sometimes that'll change because of age, but basically they're in bloom all year. But there's one tree that's different, and it's interesting. He used this particular tree, I believe, for a reason, okay? And so he says, the fig tree. So the fig tree in Israel does follow a pattern. It's a different pattern than all the rest of the trees, all the rest of in Israel. And that pattern is, when you look at it, the fig tree is one of the latest to leaf in spring, okay? And it leaves, and so it's something that you see. So seeing the tree's leaves blooming back to life, right, is an indication that summer is finally here, okay? And remember, we're talking about end times here. So he's saying, when you see the fig tree start to bloom again, when you start to see the leaves on the tree and life coming back to it, right, then you know it's about time. It's near. It's close at hand. Does that make sense, everybody? Now, for those of you who have studied Revelation with us and Old Testament and New Testament, for those of you guys, if you guys have been paying attention. Yeah, what does the fig tree usually represent in the scriptures? What is it a picture of?
Israel.
That's right. If you've been studying the Word of God at all with us, you're familiar with this. You see it all throughout Scripture. Some Old Testament stuff, so you can see it. The prophet's office often spoke of Israel by the symbol of a fig tree. You see that in Jeremiah 8:13 and 29:17, Hosea 9:10, Joel 1:7, Micah 7:1-6, and so on and so on and so forth. So I say all that. Why? What does that matter? It matters. If you remember, just a day or two ago, after the leaders had rejected Jesus, remember he came in and he cleared out the temple courts. Remember, they were buying and selling, ripping off people, making it all about themselves, making it all about the dollar, the almighty dollar, and making it a show. Oh, I was going to say something. See, the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. I thought it was really great, and just like, nope, you're not going to say that. Anyway, so after he did that, right, and they set out to kill him, you know, and they were going to kill him for exposing their hypocrisy, and all the people are going along with it, the money changers, and it's after that, right, they came along and they saw a fig tree. You remember that? Jesus cursed the fig tree, right? And it withered completely from the roots. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So that, this was back in Mark 11:14, when Jesus said, then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard him say it. And remember, this was the only miracle that Jesus ever did, right, where Jesus cursed rather than blessed and destroyed life rather than restored it, okay? And I think it was cursed not only because it didn't have any fruit on it, as we're supposed to bear fruit, but I'll get to that in a minute, but also because it was hypocritical. It showed to have the appearance of fruit, but it had nothing, okay? And then, of course, in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree, and it was withered completely from the roots. It was dead. And Peter's like, hey, that tree you cursed has withered. And that was a picture of Israel spiritually. That's why when John the Baptizer was baptizing people, and people were coming, they were repenting. Remember, they were having a change of mind, a change of heart. And they wanted, you know what, we're not living right. We're not doing things right. We're going to follow the Lord. And I don't know what's this, but my heart's genuine. I want to, and they were repenting. They were getting baptized, right? And then the Pharisees, they're like, what is this John the Baptist? What is he doing? Well, okay, he's being baptized. This is the new spiritual thing. Hey, okay, we'll go get baptized with him. Do you remember that? And he's like, you brood of vipers. John the Baptist didn't mince words. You know, I would have been like, hey, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. He's like, you brood of vipers, you know. He's like, you know what? You want to be baptized? He said to them, okay, you leaders of Israel, why don't you produce fruit in keeping with repentance? In other words, oh, you say you want to repent, you say you want to get baptized?
Yeah.
Well, how about you produce fruit in keeping with that? Fruit is something that you can see, right? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? He's saying produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And then he warned them. He said, the axe is already at the root of the tree, and everyone who does not produce that good fruit for God will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Woo! Harsh words, right? You remember that? But such was the condition of Israel and all of its leaders, spiritually and politically. It was a mess. So what he's saying, he's talking about end times. He's like, I want you guys to learn the lesson from the fig tree. Hear what I'm saying to you. So when you see the fig tree, Israel, bloom again with life, you know the season. It is near. So it's curse the fig tree. And for those of you guys who are just people pop in all the time, either online or here at church. So Israel, if you don't know, ceased being a nation in 70 AD, completely destroyed. There was no Israel, right? People were scared. In fact, the whole Hebrew language was gone. Just a little scared, maybe Yiddish or something here. But the Hebrew language disappeared for almost 2,000 years. And then all of a sudden in 1947, 48, what was that? I always forget, 47, 48. In 1948, all of a sudden, right, the whole nation of Israel blooms again, comes back to life. Nowhere in history has that ever happened. A nation been destroyed for 2,000 years, comes back into existence. A language, a people group, a country, never happened on the history of the planet. That should say something to even an unbeliever, right? So he's saying, when you see life springing back up in that fig tree, you know that the season is near. So all I'm saying is the season is near. Now, don't ask me when that is, because I don't know. But we'll get to that in a minute. And anyone who tells you they know, can I tell you what? You don't listen to them. It goes on in Mark 13:30. He continues on and he says, truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. What does that mean? Well, it's a great question. How do we talk? What does this difficult passage mean? There's a million little, but here are the main three I'm going to tell you, all right? Some interpreted this to mean the generation of disciples, okay? But I don't agree with this. I'll tell you one of the many reasons, but they saw the destruction of Israel, right? That's the cursing, right? In 70 AD, remember? I showed you Titus's arch, right, in Rome when we went there. I showed you a picture of that, and it showed them carrying away the menorah, the golden menorah, the table of showbread. You can see it's historically accurate. The Bible was true. And you saw the cursing of that fig tree, not the bringing back to life again. It was the destruction of that happened in 70 AD. Not the leaves budding yet, let alone you haven't seen the earth shaken, you know, the bowl judgments, the trumpet judgments. None of that's ever happened, okay? Some interpret this generation as the generation who sees all these things. In other words, when you see the temple rebuilt, you see that third temple, you see the abomination standing in it, you know, proclaiming, causing desolation. When you see all those things happening, right, that's the generation that sees it. To me, that's reasonable. Okay. And then the other Bible scholars interpret it as this, and I think this is accurate as well. This also seems reasonable to me. The word generation in Greek is genia, and it means a group of people living at that time, or a nation, or as in a race of people, right? So what it's saying is, so this nation of Israel, this Jewish people, will not pass away before all these things have happened. That seems very reasonable to me. If you'll notice, there's been, we can even just go back to World War II. You know, when I was in Germany, we visited Dachau, which is a concentration camp, one of many. We visited Yad Vashem in Israel. The stuff that you see there, the ovens, I'm just being honest with you. I can't even think of a word. Disturbing just doesn't cut it, but it's just really, but you know, there's definitely, if you hadn't noticed, right? This little people group, right? Oh, they're so hated by most of the world. Honestly, if it wasn't for America, they would have been, well, I shouldn't say that. I can't say that. No, if it wasn't. No, I'm sorry. Let me retract what I was going to say there. If it wasn't for the Lord, God has a plan, right? This is part of the plan. However, he is using America, right, to help protect and defend. But even in America, tides are changing. There's anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish rhetoric, hatred, protesting on campuses. And now listen, I'm not saying that everything Jewish, if you go to Israel right now, much of it is secular, right? Most don't believe in Messiah yet, but they will. At least many will. But anyway, that's not a story for another time. So that's what I think he's saying. I think they're saying, you know, either the generation that sees these things all start to happen, the abomination that causes desolation, or the generation, meaning Genea, the righteous people, will not pass away until all these things have happened. As much as the enemy has hated the Jewish people and tries to destroy them, somehow they're still here. And somehow they bring back a nation, and somehow. Mark 13:31 continues, and Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away. He says, but my words will never pass away. Now, of course, listen, the truth of Jesus Christ's words will not pass away. That applies to every word he says, okay? Not just here at the end times. Does that make sense? So that word is true in the sense of God's word is living and active, and it's not going to pass away, all right? Not just talking about end times here in Mark 13. However, and so I want to take 1 minute and talk about that. We place a great emphasis on reading and studying the Word of God, right? Okay? If you see my Bible, there's so many marks and the pages are falling out, and I love it. But I want us to all realize, and I see a lot of people that are floundering. I'm not saying you guys, but I've watched this for many, many years as a Christian and as a pastor, and they're almost spinning their wheels. Have you ever been in mud in your vehicle and you're like stepping on the gas? Hey, you're giving it full gas, right? And the engine's revving, rah, tires are spinning, rah, and you're going nowhere, you're stuck in the mud, right? That's kind of, just to be blunt honest, that's what I'm seeing in a lot of folks' lives. Maybe it's your life here, I don't know, right? And so I want to make sure we all understand this. I love God's word. It's God-breathed, God-inspired. Everything, not just the New Testament, the Old Testament as well, it's all there. Now, here's the thing. I've seen a lot of Christians that are starting to read this, and I'm so thankful, I'm so happy, and starting to get it. However, if it simply stops here, you're 18 inches short. That's the length between your head and your heart. Does that make sense? You can intellectualize the scripture. You can get lots of good wisdom from it. You can get lots of good theology. But you're not going to see a difference in your life until you take the Word of God. You see this little shirt here? We're a geeky family. I got all boys. Okay, who does this? Do you remember?
Superman.
Thank you. Okay, good. I was thinking, I wonder if they're going to get my geeky little scripture picture I made. Right. See, if you want to go, Hulk Hogan. No. The blue shirt. Anyway. So Superman, right. So listen, here's where the power comes in. The power comes in when you stop just knowing what the word says in your melon or speaking it out from your lips, but you've hidden it in your heart. You've made it a part of who you are. You've taken the promises of God and you've hidden them in there and oof, Because out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks, the actions proceed, right? That's why he told the Pharisees, hey, you're saying the right words. You want to repent? You want to be baptized? How about you produce fruit in keeping with repentance? Well, we're not going to do that because that comes from the heart. But for us, we want the heart. So that's why it says in Psalm 119:11, and I love this scripture verse, I have hidden in, excuse me, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, that's where the Superman power comes from. That's where the overcoming power comes from. That's where the victorious power comes from. When you're taking what you're learning here today and you're putting it in your heart. Not only that, I want to say there's a next step. I don't know how else to say it. There's somebody else could probably come up with better words. But not only that, it's not only knowing them and even having them in your heart, but it's applying them to your life. James said, I don't want to deceive yourself. Hey, I don't want you just to be hearers of the word and not doers only. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your life. I want you to be a doer of the word because that's where the power comes from. Dun, dun, dun. If you're not seeing the power in your life, is it possible you got too much in here and not enough in here? Or, here's the next step. It says in Deuteronomy 4:2, it says this. God says, do not add to what I command to you and do not subtract from it. He says, but keep it. Keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. In other words, obeying the word, hiding it in your heart, and then keeping it. That's why you see this little scripture picture with the glowing hands. I'm trying to figure out a better way. The power is when the word of God goes into your heart, right? Not only is it there, but now I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to trust you, Lord, with at my work, at my job, with what you say, with how you say it. Listen, I don't know how I'm going to make it financially if I do this honestly. I don't know how I'm going to be able to, if I stop lying. I don't know how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Oh, I'm just going to trust you, Lord, because my main goal is to honor you. Does that make sense? Mark, you have a comment or question, so I'm going to hopefully give you this microphone, and hopefully it's turned on, and I don't know how to do all this technical stuff. Here we go. Is it yes, no, maybe so? Somebody gives me a microphone. We'll see. If not... Oh, you got it, Pastor. Thank you. Pastor Gary will take the long way around, but at least he knows what he's doing.
In Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4, this is what is known as the Shema in Israel.
Yeah.
And they have said this is the most important part of the entire Old Testament. But the first word in verse 4 is, hear, O Israel. And when you were teaching in Daniel, it was the word Shema.
Yes, correct.
Good. And when we looked at what that meant, it meant three different things all at the same time. And this is what we must do. We must hear, we must understand, then we must obey.
That's when the
rubber meets the road, baby. Just start obeying and walking. Because once it hits your heart, then it's got to hit your feet.
That's right. Good. Excellent. That's exactly right. That's where, you know, these aren't just idle words to you. And the Bible says they're not just idle words. They don't just rev up in place, right? They're your life. They're where the rubber meets the road. Joshua said something to his people when he was about to die. And he reminded them of the truth of God's word. Because, listen, this is going to be less and less important to the world. And I maybe even in your life, the enemy's working on you so that this is less important. I didn't do my devotions. It's not, God's not number one in my, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be so busy with so many neat other things, just fine. Maybe not even bad things. But what you really need is this. He said something like this. He said, in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. I have it in the New Living Translation because I liked how he said it. It's about his promises, which is why the rainbow and everything. It was our rainbow. Oh, don't say it first. But anyway, it says, soon I'm going to die. I'm going to go the way of everything in the earth. We're all going to die. But deep in your hearts, he goes, I'm going to remind you of something. Every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Every single one. He says, not a single one has failed. More than that, God's word is to be our sustenance. This morning, before I came here, I had a smoothie. My wife is so nice. She gets up and she makes me a nice, healthy smoothie. And so that's what I got to eat this morning. I guarantee if you didn't eat this morning, you're going to eat something this afternoon or tonight or today, right? Because if you go too long without food, you're going to start to become weak. You can still function, but you're going to become weaker, tired, irritable, maybe not see things. I don't know if you get this way. It might just be me. I should have said it might just be my wife. No. But if I don't eat for too long, there is actually a change in my attitude. Hangry. Hangry. I can actually tell. It's not good. I feel a change. It's the same spiritually. Oh, I just realized. Wonderful to see you. And so, listen, God's word is your spiritual food, kids. Listen, if you're a Christian here, you can do without it, but you're going to become weaker and weaker. Your attitude's going to change. Your thinking's going to change. Your action's going to change. And you don't even realize it. When I'm in the middle of hangry, most of the time, I'm not aware of it until somebody points it out. And that's like, oh, you're right. I am acting weird. Okay, yeah, get something to eat. And all of a sudden, I'm like, why? I should have got that. What? So listen, God's word is your spiritual food. You have to eat it every day. I'm not just trying to be legalistic. I'm trying to keep you alive. And in fact, more than that, if you want to build muscle, if you want to have energy, you need to have it continually. Jesus told, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay, you want to see my backup scripture picture that I made? I usually make 3 or 4 of these. And then I asked Lisa or my kids, I'm like, which one do you like better? Which one? Okay, here's my other one. I picked this was my favorite. So this is what I'm going to send out to all you guys when this week, Lord willing. This was my backup. So I'm going to have to use that for something else. But anyway, okay, so I like J.I. Packard. He said, the stars may fail, but God's promises will stand and be fulfilled. You know what? There were commentators that I heard and read from the 16th century, and they're talking about the lesson on the fig tree, and they say even in their Bible commentaries, they're saying, well, it says when you see the fig tree bloom again, you know that these things are near, and it's been, 1,000 years, and we haven't seen anything yet, but we're trusting in God's promises. The 16th century is writing, here they are by faith. They had to go through. We don't even, I want to say we have to go by faith. We have to walk by faith. But we're seeing it bloom back to life for ourselves. Anyway, it says in context, though, when he says this, when Jesus said this, he says he's referring to the answer he just gave to his disciples' questions about Israel's fate, about his return and his establishment of the kingdom of God and the end of the age. And every jot and tittle of his prophetic answer is going to be perfectly fulfilled in due time. And I don't know if you've ever seen if you know what a jot and tittle is, but their expressions, a jot, I think, is the Hebrew 10th letter in, yod, and it almost looks like, to me, it looks like a semicolon, or maybe this part of it. It's just a little, and a tittle is almost like the, in Hebrew, or in it's almost like a cross of a T. And Jesus said this. He said, For I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, right? That was a jot, right? The Greek word would be the smallest letter in the Greek language for that would have been iota. And then the least stroke of a pen, that's the tittle for another translation says, right? Will by any means disappear from the law until a couple things are accomplished.
Everything.
Every single thing. It's going to come to pass. Look, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to like it. But it's going to happen. So listen, here's what I'm saying. Why don't you go with the flow? Not the flow of the world. It's all going the wrong direction. How about you choose to go with the flow of the Lord? And actually, you know what you're going to do there? You're going against the flow. But that's okay. Not you, Flo, but yeah, okay. So, John MacArthur wrote something. He said, the word of God is the same unassailable, unchanging truth, whether it speaks of the past, present, or future, which it is here. Just as Christians were born again through the living, enduring word of God and are being sanctified through the word of his grace, so also they in the future will be glorified according to the promises of God. It's going to happen. Mark 13, how long have I been teaching, Pastor? I don't even know.
44 minutes.
Okay. We're going to go to, the hour. Mark 13, 32 to 33 continues. When it's speaking about this judgment, when is it going to come? Right? People think when he comes back, if you haven't read the Bible, when he comes back this time, it's just going to be a great time. And they call it the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's going to be great if you know the Lord. It's going to be terrible if you've rejected him. So you can reject his word, you can reject his heart, you can reject his offer of eternal life. You can be religious, you can do that, but it's going to be a terrible day. And it goes on to say this. It says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. He says, be on guard, be alert, for you do not know. Oh, I cut that off. Oh, it ticks me off. I must have made that a little bit incorrectly. Verse 33 says, for you do not know when that time will come. Sorry, you do not know when that time will come. It's cut off. I apologize. I think I made some adjustments on this scripture at the last minute. So, and I want to say if any spiritual leader, or I put in quotes, quote unquote, prophet, pastor, says that they've had some divine revelation and have figured out what day the end of times is, can I tell you what? One thing I know for certain. You can throw a big old party on that day because it's not going to happen on that day. Listen, I can tell you that they don't know what they're talking about. Now, sometimes the last person who did that that I remember, it was a big to-do, Harold Camping. I don't know if you even remember that name. It was probably better, you know. He might have even been well-intended. He had this whole thing figured out, the last days. He was a Christian radio broke. All this, and people sold their houses, their car, you know, it sounded so logical. It's very complex, and you know what? I would just go back to the scripture. And anybody, people were panicking. No one knows the day or the hour. This guy, even if he's sincere, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, but you haven't seen all the data. Listen, trust in the word of God. His promises will never fail. Okay? And so, of course, that day came and went and he looked like a buffoon. And so now here's the other question that I got. If Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, how does he not know the day or the hour? I got that question last week, I think, from somebody. And, me.
I used to work for Camping's organization.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah.
And I used to work for the Camping Association. It's called Family Station Incorporated. He said that, and we were all beside ourselves.
Yeah.
And then later, what we didn't see was that he did apologize.
Yes, and I'm glad. I'm glad about that. But we have to know, even if some people are just going to flat out tell you wrong things. But wrong or right, good intention, bad intention, you have to trust the word of God instead of whatever. But if this Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, how does he not know the day or the hour? Well, the answer is quite simply, when Jesus was on the earth, he limited himself, his presence, his power, right? He limited that so he can experience the humanity side of us. If you remember, there was a time in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, when they came to get him, right? If you remember that, they came and all these soldiers, and Peter got up and he chopped off one of the servant's ears. I think his name was it Malchus? Malchus? Right? And Jesus is like, dude. Well, he didn't say dude. That's the Darren paraphrase version. It's like, dude, put away your sword, bro. It's like, don't you think I could call down, you know, legion of angels right now, right? But this has to be fulfilled, as the scripture has said. And so that's why. So right now he's purposely, when he was on the earth, he limited himself, his power, his presence, and all that. And this be alert right here, see that word right here? Be alert. That word in Greek is agrypneo, and it means to be attentive, to be ready. It means to go without sleep or laziness. It means in Greek to be intent on being awake spiritually. In other words, there's going to be a long time before he comes back. So the tendency for some of us, not you, of course, but I'll just say me, lazy. Not to be about our Father's work. It's really easy, right? We're involved in a lot of stuff. I am. Sometimes too much, just to be honest. But sometimes it's not all about our Father's business. And it's easy to be sleeping and lazy. But that be alert, it means to be purposely ready, to purposely go without sleep, be purposeful in being awake and ready spiritually, to be working. It's the same word that exact same word that's used in Ephesians 6:18 when it talks about spiritual warfare, praying the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert. Same word. Always keep on praying because the enemy is going to attack. The enemy's not resting. You can rest and be lazy about it, but it's the same word here in Luke chapter 21, 34 and 36. He says, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing or drunkenness and the worries of life. Everybody's saying, don't get involved with all this stuff. It's an unending maze of life to trap you, lull you to sleep, confuse you, just to have you not about your Father's business. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these things, these coming horrors, and stand before the Son of Man. Mark 13:34, as we close out the chapter, says it's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned tasks, and he tells the one at the door to keep watch. So Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling you and I how to live until he returns again. Jesus is the man in this verse that went away, and he's left you and I, his servants, in charge. And in fact, he's left us three things. The first thing is, he's left us his house, it says right here. Right? That's the church. It belongs to Jesus. This isn't Pastor Darren's church, or Pastor Gary's church, or the denomination church. This is the church of Jesus Christ, right? We've got so much ministry that goes on here between the church, the school, and the mission. It's insane, right? But he's entrusted to each one of us. Honestly, it couldn't run without the body. We need you. People are fluttering here and there, and no, we need to be a body. If this is your body, come in, be attached, grow, root. Let God use you. If it's somewhere else, go there. Bless them. But be about God's business. Does that make sense? We have wonderful people that watch us from all over the country online. And one of the things, whenever I talk to them, I find a local church. I always, we can't find one like yours. Find one anyway. because God wants you involved in a local body. There's accountability there. Everybody wants to get lost in the church, right? I don't want any accountability. I just go there, you know. No, he wants you involved with a group of people. So he's left us his house. He's left us his authority, right? In charge. We must remember that we are to first live and serve under the authority of Jesus Christ, right? And the direction of Jesus Christ. You're not under the direction of your boss, ultimately, or your husband or wife, ultimately, right? Or your parents or your school or your principal. You're under his authority, right? Does that make sense? First and foremost. Now, we are to respect authority and all that type of thing, according to the word, but we're under his authority. And with that responsibility is given to us his power and his authority. I've given it to you. I've given you my word, that power, right? And thirdly, he's given us his work. It says that each servant, right, has his or her assigned task. He's prepared good works for you in advance to do. Shouldn't you be seeking, praying what he wants you to do? That's just for Pastor Gary. That's just for Neely. She serves at the school. That's just for Lisa. No, it's for you. 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 And yes, you. No one is exempt. And we're not responsible for others' work, okay? Why aren't they doing something? Why aren't they giving more? Why aren't they doing that? Why aren't they serving? Why aren't they... You know what? Stop it. How about you just worry about you? And you be the example. Does that make sense? Yes? All right. These last few verses as we close out, he says, therefore keep watch because you do not know when the owner of the house, Jesus, will come back. And he will. Whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows at dawn. I love that little picture of Jesus with the dawn who's breaking over him. You don't know when he's going to come back. So the idea is to be ready right now. The world wants to lull you to sleep or to poison your mind. You have to be alert and say, wait, this is what's going on. I'm not going to fall for that trap. Does that make sense, everyone? And then finally, the last verses say, Mark 13, 36, 37. It closes out Mark 13, and next week we'll get into Mark 14. It says, listen to this. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. You know what? I think I should use that verse for the sermons on Sunday. Do not let him find you sleeping. No. Everybody just woke up. I'm up. But he says, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. That's a warning. What I say to you, I say to everybody, watch, be ready, be alert. It is so easy to be lazy, right? Do not, he said, do not let him find you asleep. Do you remember the virgins, the story of the parable of the virgins? Right? Some were waiting, some were ready. They had their lamps, the oil lamps filled. They were ready. And some were just like, yeah, whatever. Listen, well, Pastor, I don't see what's the big deal if we're not, you know, if we're sleeping. What's the big deal? Listen, it's a big deal. Proverbs 18:19 says, the one who is slack in his work is brother to one or sister to one who destroys. Right? We all need to be working. We all need to be sharing. We all need to be giving. We all need to be discipling. Go see that movie. We all saw it as a youth group. It's fantastic. Somehow, not everybody got the text I sent out. The Forge. Okay. The Forge. Obviously, now I know some people didn't get that text. But go see the movie. It's all about discipleship. You know, I just want to encourage you. Don't be lazy. Be ready. Be alert. Realize the tree is budding. Leaves of life are coming in. The season is here. Now, I don't know how long that will be. Because it 2 years? Is it 10 years? Is it 100 years? I have no idea. I trust the Lord our God. Don, did you have something to say before I close out in prayer?
They have a Q code. If you can't afford tickets for the movie, that you can get free tickets.
So there you go.
If you go on the Forge website, you'll be able to get for your neighbors or somebody. You know.
That's awesome. And if you really want to go and you really don't have the $10 to go see the Christian movie, then I just want to let you know that we'll be happy to help you. See, Pastor Gary, this body is very generous. Your tithes and offerings, we just want you to grow. We just want you to be strengthened in the Lord. We want you to have that fire in your heart, right?
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I just want to say thank you for your word that does not return void, but accomplishes the purpose you set it out for, Lord. Like the rain that comes down and washes us clean, Lord God. Lord, it's the same as your word, Lord God, and it won't return void. I pray in Jesus' name that you would stir something in us today, Lord God. You'd wash away the dirt and the soot of the world, Lord. You'd stir together us together to love and good deeds, Lord, to be awake, to help each other, remind each other, to be alert, to be on guard. You keep saying it. We can almost hear it so many times we shut down. Instead, Lord, stir us up to do what you've called us to do, to share your word with others, to live a godly life, Lord. Not that we're going to be perfect, but we're going to be calling on you for help, Lord, and you're going to be using us, Lord. Help us to serve, give, love, whatever it is, Lord God. Seek your face, Lord, in all things, Lord, so that we can be a blessing to you, Lord, individually and as a body, Lord. I thank you for everybody who's heard this sermon, Lord. I know you've drawn the people here that you want here today, Lord God. We ask you to heal up all those who are sick, Lord, completely in Jesus' name. And bless the folks that are listening online as well, Lord God. Encourage their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus, that we may follow you more closely. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a good God Spirit-filled week in Jesus' name.